It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
So if Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers, does that change the Bears' plan for Justin Fields? We're asking you the question. 312-332-3776.
I love that conversation that we had in the IDOT bullpen about this. And Danny gave us a little something, a little bit of a curveball that I was not expecting this morning. Probably because I'm still asleep. Mm-hmm. But maybe just because I'm still sleepy. Miller and I watching the late night basketball, still trying to just stay awake. But it's interesting, the angle, because, okay, so you could say, well, if Aaron Rodgers is not in the division, then Andy Dalton should be able to prosper, should be able to play well. But then whether it's Justin Fields or if it's any quarterback that's there for the Bears, if it's Andy Dalton, if it's Nick Foles, you still have a formidable schedule you got to go through. Even with Rodgers out of the division, it's still tough. We document the middle of that schedule, how difficult it's going to be. I see 3-1 in the first four games, but that middle section, Cap's pretty tough.
Very tough. Mm-hmm. But does it change your perspective on how you would... Okay, if Justin Fields isn't ready, you're not playing him.
Right.
But if you're in camp, you're like, wow, we could do this. We could go that way. Andy looks good. Justin's coming way faster than we thought. Aaron Rodgers in the division. They're going to be really, really good. Let's just play Andy and let Justin continue to develop. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't in the division, can there be a school of thought? Let's start Justin Fields. This division's wide open. Let's ride with the kid and see what happens, like Seattle did with Russell Wilson.
Right. But I guess the big question on the other side of that is, do you react based on what Green Bay does?
I say no.
Yeah.
I do not. If Justin's ready, play him. Right. If he's not ready, then you don't play him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's close, I err on the side of caution. I do. Now, if Andy Dalton looks like Mike Glennon, no.
Right.
Mike Glennon looked awful in camp. Awful. So
you would think he would have been good, though, because he could see over the line.
Yeah, because he's like a giraffe. Isn't that his nickname?
Yeah, see over,
giraffe.
See over a couple lines, actually, couple of games down the line. He was like a periscope up there, wasn't he? He was be able to move the neck around, be able to survey everything.
And remember, he almost beat Atlanta, who was really good back then.
Yes.
He almost beat Atlanta week one.
I remember.
That pass got knocked down at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 7-yard out. Or they beat Atlanta. And all of a sudden, everybody would be like, whoa. Right.
He gets, it's amazing he still gets paid in the league. Not just the Bears liked him. Remember, your guy John Gruden liked him too.
Right.
He saw Hard Knocks like, hey, this Glennon guy, let me tell you. What do you mean? Guy sucks.
Speaking of John Gruden, he better start winning.
That's exactly right.
It's like 10 games. Or what? He'll continue to cash checks from the Raiders?
No, he'll get huge checks. But at some point, I mean, he's 19 and 29. He was brought in to be the freaking savior.
I know he's got
that guy's so overrated.
They paid him over 100. He may be overrated, but he got over $100 million. He ain't going anywhere, whether he loses or not.
Well, he better win, or I'll start betting the under on the win loss total. That's what I'll do.
You get that?
You better start winning, or you're going to win 5 games, and I'll cash in that ticket.
That guy's so overrated.
Every single you better win.
Overrated. So, does that change the timeline? If you're a Bears fan out there, 312-332-3776. Again, for me, it does not. But if it's close, man, that kid.
Yeah?
Every report we've heard from minicamp
mm-hmm.
is he's in command, he's a leader out there, and he looked really, really good.
Well, the big question is that we're kind of asking is, if Andy Dalton is your starting quarterback and Green Bay parts ways with Aaron Rodgers, can Andy run the table if he stays healthy? Can he win the job and help the Bears offense by himself without having Fields or Foles over his shoulder? Not so sure. That schedule is the third or fourth toughest schedule in the NFL, just based on last year's records.
Correct.
Very difficult.
Now, again, you could wake up in October and go, oh, my God, we're playing the Bucs. They got six guys out, including the quarterback. So you don't know who you're playing. It's when you play them, not who you're playing.
By the way, I wish we had more time with Matt Nagy. And I understand the flagship Odyssey had their opportunity to talk to Nagy first. But one of the questions I would ask him is, are you going to be ducking Fields in and out of the lineup? Like, we've seen this before, right? We saw this in Philly last year. We've seen this before where...
Oh, where they pulled Jalen Hurts
last year? Just, like, put him in for a play or not. Like, I don't... If Fields is going to be on the field, I want him to be there full stop.
He's the quarterback.
Don't do that nonsense of the third down. But here's the thing, though, Jeff. I'm concerned with that because there might be a third down, a long situation. They say, well, Fields can run and Dalton can't. I don't want that. I just want him, if he's going to get the job, get under center and be able to have the job full stop.
What happened to Mitch when they tried that with him?
Well, exactly right.
He hurt his shoulder.
Well, and this is when Nagy's listening to too much sports radio.
Correct.
You know, it'd be great if Nagy would just put Trubisky in kind of a fullback role.
Hurt his shoulder.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. They
one
don't need
Jerry. Dumb. One.
Dumb.
They don't need a Fields package. And honestly... It doesn't.
I wish I would have asked him that just to make sure.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hope they don't go that route because that really doesn't help anybody. That, you know, that you try and satiate the fans by giving them a little taste, a little appetizer of the, you know, the meal to come in the future.
You know, a couple teams do that, though,
no,
Jeff.
No, you're right.
Eagles did that last year.
You're right. But I hope they don't do that because once he proves to you he's out there, he should be out there. What, though, this changes the Aaron Rodgers interview on SportsCenter last night with Kenny Mayne, what it changes for me if this is actually going to happen? And we're headed for a real divorce where whether it's just Aaron Rodgers sitting out this year or barring the Packers trading him. I'm not even worried about that. But if we're in a situation where we come to September and Aaron Rodgers is not the starting quarterback for the Packers, what it changes for me is not whether or not Dalton should start or Fields should start. What it changes for me is this division is much more attainable. It's a very winnable division.
No question.
It's wide open. The Vikings are certain they look better, but they're not by any means a team you need to be concerned is a team you cannot beat.
Agreed.
And the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, I don't even know what they are. I don't think the Packers know what they are.
The funny thing is, it was always the Patriots. They knew how to have a quarterback because they got Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. That was a lottery ticket. It was the freaking 199th pick.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers was a first round pick. They developed Favre, and then they develop him, and they laugh at us. Bunch of idiots in Chicago. They can never find a quarterback. Now, we saw Bill Belichick wake up with garbage quarterback play. Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and they are like, whoa, wait a minute. Welcome to the world. This is what it looks like without a quarterback.
Correct.
We may wake up before this season starts, Green Bay doesn't have one. They have a rookie or a young kid in Love. New England, they don't know what it's like yet with post-Brady to have a really good quarterback. And guess what? We have the apple of everybody's eye, Justin Fields.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really intrigued, though, Jeff. I'm really intrigued because I don't know what this looks like throughout the regular season. Like, when we will see Fields, will he see the field this year? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. You know, we have issues, and by the way, so are the Jets. I don't know if you saw the Kimberly Martin package of the Jets. They haven't had one since Namath. 67?
Horrible. Horrible.
So 67?
Yeah.
It's like
horrible.
That.
All right, let's go to the phones. Joe's in St. Charles. Hey, Joe, what's up? Welcome to the show, man.
Hey.
Hey, Joe.
Speaking of Rodgers, you know, I don't think that guy in a trade is going to bring that much at his age. I mean, not multiple ones. Would you do that?
Let me ask you a question.
I'm a Bears fan. I would not.
Let me ask you something. If you were the general manager of, let's assume they hadn't gone out and gotten Carson Wentz. You were the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. And you feel like, wow, we got a great offensive line. We got a really good defense. We have had subpar quarterback play. And guess what? We can run the ball. We need a quarterback. Give me your next two ones. I'll give you Aaron Rodgers. He probably wins the Super Bowl with you. You wouldn't do that?
I don't know, man. It's sounds like a one-shot trick pony to me.
What if you're the 49ers? Now they drafted Trey Lance. Again, this is all going back to pre-draft. What if you're the 49ers? They gave up 3 ones to go get Trey Lance. You're not giving 2 ones for Aaron Rodgers to come to your team. You got a great defense. You got this brilliant play-calling head coach. You can run the ball. You got an offensive line. You wouldn't do that?
You know, I just don't like giving up the future for freaking anybody.
But what is the future? Is the future
age.
Leonard Floyd, Kevin White, Mitchell Trubisky? I mean, that's right. If you feel like you can win, that's where I'm at.
Well, the 49ers draft better than the Bears do.
There's no
question.
And
so does Indianapolis.
Joe, thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Joe.
So
I'm looking for spots for Rodgers. I'm just kind of looking at this. Could you see him stepping away for a year and says, okay, Big Ben, you're out, I'm in? Could you imagine that? Hit him in a Steeler uniform?
No shot.
It would just be,
well,
I'm just looking for openings.
You can't envision it, but the way Hoodie just laid that out, that makes more sense. Is that, you know, if the Packers force this issue and say, we're not trading you, you know, we're going to hold the company line and you're going to have to go sit out and pay back your bonus money. Yeah, that makes more sense. A year from now, there are going to be more landing spots. Right now, because you're after the draft, that's why it came down on draft night. Aaron Rodgers was trying to force his way to San Francisco. That was the perfect ideal landing spot. They had the number three overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly, if the Packers were going to play ball, that was a good option for them. You know what I mean? To trade, get multiple first-round picks, one of them being the third overall pick. But they didn't want to do it. They weren't going to be forced on draft night. Now, after we're after the draft, it's much harder to find that landing spot. That's why Denver looks like the only reasonable one, because they've got picks and an open spot at quarterback. But what you said, Hoodie, if he needs to sit out a year, yeah, more franchises become possibilities.
Maybe. Interesting. Mike Tomlin right up there. Aaron Rodgers, the standard is the standard. Questions.
Right, because Roethlisberger's done after this year.
Right. The other thing is the juice worth the squeeze? Him complaining about the Packers, you want that in your locker room? You sure that he's a good teammate? You sure?
Yeah, I'd take the shot. If I felt like my team was ready to win, I'm not, like, if I'm the Jets, I'm not making that move. They're not ready to win. But if I'm a team that feels like, hey, man, we upgrade a quarterback to that level,
mm-hmm,
we can go win the Super Bowl.
One more, right, Hoodie.
Now.
One more, Hoodie. You say Pittsburgh. If he sits out a year, could New Orleans be back in play? Could the Saints be a spot where he goes a year from now?
There's another one.
That's another one. Absolutely. I could see that. I was looking at the other teams, too. These teams either have a quarterback or they're just not good enough. I don't think that Rodgers should, like Washington, not ready yet.
Sure about
that? It'd be nice. Nah, not ready yet.
Really great defense.
Yes.
They've got a running game. They have Terry McLaurin. They got some good receivers. I mean, you're telling me you drop Aaron Rodgers into Washington, that team doesn't have a shot. I'll tell you, I think you're wrong.
It's a good team.
312-332-3776. We'll get to Greg and Joe and all of you, but we've got to play our quick game called Hoodwinked. Caller 10. Right now, you have a chance to play. We get it right. You're going to dinner at Lou Malnati's. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Out bullpen this morning, driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. Learn more through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. And Meller said, wait a minute, you guys got to hear this. So do you remember the Tom Emanski baseball fundamental videos, hitting and fielding and be the best player that you can be, with Fred McGriff and that like Canadian mounted police hat that he was wearing?
You could say that. Yes, it was kind of like the Canadian mounted police. I remember the Tom Emanski Baseball World of Defensive Drills video.
Right.
And if you were a baseball fan, Meller, you couldn't help but to see that commercial because it was on all the broadcasts. I don't know how it got that wide world distribution, but all baseball broadcasts had Tom Emanski there where you can learn how to play baseball like Tom.
The Tom Emanski instructional video is part of my childhood, gentlemen.
It's mine,
as
too.
It ran, it seemed like on an endless loop throughout the 90s. And for those who are unfamiliar with it, because we do have some younger folks out there who may not know exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We should probably play them the Tom Emanski commercial.
Arm strength, quickness, agility, and body control. The essential elements of the winning defensive baseball player. And with Coach Emanski's Defensive Drills video, you'll learn the amazing training secrets of America's finest baseball school. The Defensive Drills video features revolutionary training techniques developed by professional scout and instructor Tom Emanski. Techniques that get results, producing Baseball World's back-to-back-to-back AAU National Championship teams and even a gold medal in international competition. In a recent review, Collegiate Baseball Magazine exclaimed, with Coach Emanski's techniques, the future of baseball is here today. Even top professional players are impressed. Just ask Major League superstar Fred McGriff.
I'm so impressed with the instructional videos by Coach Emanski that I've given them my full endorsement. When you watch them, you'll know why.
The Defensive Drills video is available now for immediate shipping. It makes a great gift and benefits players of all ages and ability levels. To order your copy, call toll-free 1-800-544-1000. That's 1-800-544-1000. Call now.
I think it also was a commercial here on the station, apparently, with the 1,000 on the back end of that phone number.
Absolutely.
And so the deal that Tom Emanski, this professional scout and instructor, did with ESPN back in the day
Did you guys know who Tom Emanski was before the commercial ran?
No,
first off?
I did not.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I had no idea, but they talked to you like Tom Emanski is a household name in instructional videos, right?
Yes.
Professional. Instructor.
That is where packaging goes a long way because you're just watching and listening to it. And you're going, Tom Emanski must know what something.
It's like the clickbait headlines that you see now. Oh, God.
Yes.
I got to click on that.
That's not what they really advertised.
Right. Well, you never saw Tom Emanski, but you did see Crime Dog McGriff. I remember those commercials like it was yesterday in that, you know, there would be some kid in the outfield throwing it to home plate in a garbage can.
Correct.
Garbage can laying down. Hit the garbage can, kid, from right field. You throw it, and if you hit the garbage can, you're a primo outfielder.
Correct. And you hit the cutoff man.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why, and I know that sounds primitive, but my God. Back in the day, now I'm in college. Meller's a younger guy. Point is, though, is that when you watch that, you believe that you can get better because they sold it and they played it all the time.
Yeah,
and
it was endless loop on ESPN.
And they said that you had looked it up. It played that commercial.
Arm strength, quickness, agility, and body control. The essential elements of the winning defensive baseball player. And with Coach Emanski's Defensive Drills video, you'll learn the amazing training secrets of America's finest baseball school.
There you go. America's finest baseball school. That played over 50,000 times on ESPN TV, and he did not pay 1 cent for the airtime. All he did was a revenue share with them. Okay, I sell a video. I'll give you this percentage of it.
So you know what? It wasn't even that. It was a per-inquiry deal. So anytime somebody called Tom Emanski to ask about the video, ESPN cashed some amount of money from the phone number that they created.
And today you could never get a network, at least a network at ESPN's level, to do that. Like Channel 26 might go, okay, but you're not getting the eyeballs that you want.
Svengoolie says, give me some of this money.
Yeah, exactly.
But that
answers the question and explains why it aired so often was because ESPN was like, you know what? If we have some airtime that we need to fill, run the Emanski video.
Correct.
And we might make some money off of it.
Now, tell me the other side of this. We learned some this morning.
Okay, so Fred McGriff, you heard him in the video. All-star Fred McGriff. I'm so impressed after watching Coach Emanski.
Baseball superstar
Fred McGriff.
Yes.
I'm so impressed after watching Coach Emanski's video. Here's Fred McGriff yesterday.
Reveal this to the nation, okay? Honestly, I've never seen the video in my life.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was like 19 years old, Steve Christmas told me, hey, go visit Tom Emanski down in Orlando, right? He can help you out with your hitting. So I'm like, yeah, okay. So now 5 years later, I'm in the big leagues. So Tom's like, hey, Fred, you mind helping me out with this video? And I'm like, hey, dude, no sweat. I'm in the big leagues. Big leagues now, right? You know what I'm saying? Kenny, but I've never seen the video.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen the video, yet I'm just tweeting out. The Cap J Hood page has it there, so I just retweeted it. Fred McGriff, the video has my full I fully endorse Tom Emanski in his videos.
I'm so impressed with the instructional videos by Coach Emanski that I've given them my full endorsement. When you watch them, you'll know why.
I mean, that was shocking this morning.
Shocking!
I mean, because you believed, right? When you have a pitch man, you believe. He's got the big puffy hat on. That's the thing that's been panned for years, by the way, that bad hat he had on.
Horrible.
But the point is, though, is that you always believe because it's Fred McGriff. It's Crime Dog. Reputable, right? You always thought it was him.
That's unbelievable.
So that surprised me that he never saw the video, doesn't know anything about it. He just did the line, and then that was it. Actually, it wasn't Emanski, as Jeff mentioned. That wasn't the selling point. Fred McGriff was a selling point.
Absolutely. That's the reason if you were going to buy this video, it was all because Fred McGriff was giving it his full endorsement.
He's the baseball superstar, Fred McGriff. I got to get that for my kid.
So ultimately, we made a list of those that we feel like, hey, you know what? They're not real. And it starts at the top for me. Flo really does not have Progressive Insurance.
She's got Allstate.
I think she is. She is an Allstate person. That's what I believe. I believe after all those commercials, Flo is not actually, she has nothing to do with Progressive Insurance. I really believe that Billy Mays does not use OxyClean.
What about the Flex tape?
I don't think he uses that either. No. He tells you how to use it, but he doesn't have it.
I agree.
You go to his garage, Billy Mays doesn't have it. He's just a pitch man.
Yeah, he just shows up. They shoot 10, 12 commercials for different products. See ya.
You know the ShamWow guy? ShamWow?
Yeah.
Just uses a regular rag. Doesn't use the ShamWow.
Like an old dirty t-shirt.
Yeah, he uses that. He doesn't use the ShamWow to get all that water out. Look what happens with all the water. It's all gone. The ShamWow guy is a fraud, too. That's what I think. And, of course, your guy, MyPillow, just uses a regular old pillow. No way.
That guy.
That's your guy, the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Hey, listen, I don't think he uses his own product. I just think that he uses just a regular, you know, regular pillow that he has at the crib.
He made good pillows with that guy.
But
the question is, I think you're right about all those, but the question is, who would just shatter you if you found out that they were lying to you? Like, they were pitching a product, and all of a sudden, like, they're synonymous with that product. Whoever it is. That's the question, Hoodie.
Yes.
Who would crush you to find out that they do not actually use the product?
I mean, this is at the top of the list, but I would love for our audience who are very, very talented and very imaginative of this. Out of all the commercial pitch women, pitch men, who would just shatter you if you found out they don't even use the product?
Right. Like, what?
Yeah.
312-332-3776. That Fred McGriff one, when Meller brought it up, I was done.
Everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers today. Honestly, the biggest reveal last night on Kenny Mayne's final SportsCenter is Fred McGriff telling the folks that Tom Emanski video that he fully supports is a fraud. My childhood is a fraud.
And how many did they sell of that? Because they said they ran that spot over 50,000 times on ESPN, which tells you they were getting a lot of inquiries.
Less than a 10-year period, over 50,000 times in less than 10 years.
So we're going to get your calls in here on that because the Fred McGriff is pretty devastating, but there's other people in which you've watched, whether it's getting a car or getting a product, and you've seen them pitch it for years, and you're saying, isn't that person, do they use a product? And you come to find out, probably not.
They're just being paid for their name.
Sad.
312-332-3776. Help us out. Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, Kenny Mayne, who is, you know, a legendary, legendary person on ESPN, has moved on.
Man, what happened? Car accident?
He has been let go, or he has stepped down, or they have parted ways.
Parted ways.
Parted ways.
He felt like he was being lowballed. He's given several interviews, and I think he said that they asked him to take a 60% pay cut, or was it 70? No, it was like 60%. It was like a 60% pay cut.
And so he did his last Sports Center last night. Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes.
So Pat Boyle told me last night that he was doing Sports Center back in 2000 and like late 3, early 2004 before he moved here. And he's over in like Building A writing the show. And then they walk over on the Skyway to Building B, and that's where the show is broadcast. And he said, we're on our way there, and it's him and Kenny Mayne. And Kenny turns and goes, by the way, this is my last Sports Center. 2004.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's gone on to come back and do a billion more of them. But Pat said, that's how far back Kenny Mayne goes. He's an incredibly talented person. We played some of his interview with Aaron Rodgers earlier in the show. This is how he wrapped up that interview with the Packers' great quarterback.
Hey, just last thing. Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I love you, Ken.
I love you, Ken.
Well, that's a way to leave.
How about that?
On SportsCenter. What are you going to do, fire him?
Like, not anymore.
Is that the way you go out, Cap, or not?
That's pretty funny.
I mean, F you, Aaron Rodgers, on live TV. Well, live to tape, right? Because they bleeped it out.
Correct.
Hey, that's just last thing. Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I love you, Ken.
I love you, Ken. Isn't that great?
I love that. I love that. At least, you know, and there's a lot of respect there for Kenny Mayne, who's been doing it for a long time on SportsCenter. So you think about all the SportsCenter anchors that you've seen over the years, right? Mm-hmm. You've come home from covering something. You come home from the bar, and you turn on SportsCenter. So Kenny Mayne's in your top 5 or your top 10?
Probably top 10.
Top 10. So that means Scott Van Pelt's on that list?
He's in the top 10.
Oberman?
He's in the top 10.
Stuart Scott?
He's in the top 5.
Linda Cohen?
Not top 10.
All right. Rich Eisen?
Top 10.
Dan Patrick?
Top 2.
Okay.
Him and Stuart Scott probably right up there for me.
Chris Berman?
Top 10.
Craig Kilborn?
Yeah, not a fan.
Why?
Just not a fan. Not my cup of tea. He was bad in old school.
So that's enough of that.
He was awful in old school.
Charlie Steiner, your top 10?
Probably. He was okay.
Neil Everett.
Okay.
At your late night Sports Center.
Is there a Stan Verrett?
Stan Verrett. Brother Stan's there.
He was good.
Steve Levy.
Solid.
Brian Kenny.
Yeah, okay.
Boy, he goes, now you start going.
Gary Miller.
Gary Miller is very solid.
Gary Miller is
yes.
The one that was urinating out the window at, what, P.J. Clark's on Russian Division?
Yes.
Something like that.
It's interesting that Susie Colbert also was in SportsCenter for a while, and so did Trey Wingo.
Yeah, I have a good friend that knows Susie Colbert very well. Said, very nice person.
So I think that's fair to say I would have Kenny Mayne between 6 and 10 on the list.
Yeah.
Definitely top 10, for sure.
Very talented.
The longevity, right?
Very talented.
So the acerbic wit, the dry humor, it will work in other places, I'm sure. And my guy, John Anderson, will probably be in that top 10.
John somewhere. Anderson's excellent.
Very good guy.
Excellent.
Packer guy.
Who's the other guy? Buchagross.
Buchagross, yes.
Very talented as well.
That works out with it. With the hockey package, it's going to be on ESPN coming up very soon. So, SportsCenter to me, I liked how ESPN put more emphasis on SportsCenter again. They were trying to get away from it for a while, but this regime says, no, highlights still matter. But, you go into a clubhouse in Major League Baseball or the NBA, what do you think it's on? SportsCenter.
SportsCenter.
They want to see their own highlights.
Correct.
That still matters.
They watch that stuff.
Even though we got House of Highlights and all these other things on our phone digitally, still on ESPN, being able to see those highlights still matter today.
Scott Van Pelt has done yeoman work to try and keep that brand alive, he's awesome at it.
Yeah.
Wildly talented guy. Yeah, wildly talented.
Taking it to another level, doing it by himself as a solo artist.
Okay, so a good friend of mine, his name is John. John sent me a text. Meller, you got to hear this. So we were talking about Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
He said, listening to the show while I'm working, according to my friend Dave, not the Dave who takes Blue Chew with Black.
Yeah.
My friend Dave was Mickelson's security man at Cog Hill a few years back for the BMW Championship.
Mm-hmm.
A fan is all over Mickelson as he's walking on the course, and Phil finally went nuts on him. The fan kept calling him Fig Jam.
Fig Jam.
F-I-G-J-A-M. Okay. Mellor, do you know what Fig Jam means?
I feel like I've heard it before, but can't remember.
I asked my friend Dave, what does that mean? He said the other pros told him they gave him that nickname, and it drives Phil crazy. F, I'm good. Just ask me.
That's a long way for a drink of water. I don't know. Fig Jam.
Fig Jam.
I love that. That's
and there's he clicked, he sent the link to an article where there's a whole article about how it really drives Phil crazy.
Okay, you know that's going to be fuel for someone, right? Fig Jam. So you're saying that. You sure that didn't was not said on the 18th green?
So is that why everyone calls Cap Fig Jam around here?
Exactly.
Now it makes sense.
Anyway, 312-332-3776.
Sounds tasty, by the way.
Very tasty.
Fig and jam together. Mm.
We will talk to Carmen and Yurko for Crosstalk in 2 minutes.
Take that.
Take that.